Our first speaker that we're going to introduce is Mary Issa, and she's your executive director, and she's been with NAMI Johnson County for the past 12 years, and she started as executive director back in 2013, and she's going to talk about NAMI's mission right now. So please welcome Mary to the podium.
Can you hear me? Maybe a little closer. There we go. All right. Well, welcome everyone to the NAMI Johnson County 2020 kickoff event for our walk. I guess they didn't test run the clicker. Test run everything else. That was me. Okay, so I want to take a moment and recognize our staff that's here. Soon you'll be meeting Erin Kay, our walk manager, and Jennifer, can you like wave? Erin's up here if you don't know her. Jennifer Days, our coordinator of Our Place Peer Recovery. And then several of our peer support specialists are here. I see Todd. And did Jennifer make it? Jennifer's way in the back. So we would like to welcome our, thank our staff for their hard work and effort at NAMI Johnson County. We just keep continuing to grow, and we're going to be adding some more peer support specialists soon to our place. So we're very excited about that, that the attendance of our Peer Recovery Center continues to grow. We hope it continues to grow through this whole coronavirus event coming up. So be thinking about us as we plan and strategize for that event. we continue to thank you for your hard, hard work and dedication of the walk program, because it does fund our programs and services that we're able to provide here in Johnson County and in Linn County, and for all the people that drive in for those programmings. We couldn't do it without you, and it's so nice to see all of you here today. So thank you. Keep eating. Please go back and get more if you're still hungry. Great. Thank you. Yes, please. You might have missed the dessert table when you came in. There's a dessert table at the back. Please get up, help yourself. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Mary. We also want to thank some sponsors for this event today, too. Locals Love Us for our prizes up front, brought to you by Locals Love Us. Some of the premier sponsors, this is part of the KCRG TV9 Show You Care program, Green State Credit Union, Eels and Tronvold Law, Dave Wright Subaru, as well as Mercy Cedar Rapids. Also, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Alchemy's Child Service, as well as Lensing Quality Care and ACT. Hills Bank, Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust, the Excel Group, Midwest One Bank, Virtue Medicine, LKR, Mercy Iowa City, as well as Mercy Cedar Rapids, and the Mighty 1630 KCJJ. So we want to give a nice round of applause for all those sponsors here today. We'll get some more to you a little bit later on. And we're going to introduce our next speaker here for you. This is Mary Lou Callahan. She's sitting right here in the front. And she's an Iowa City native who is proud to be serving as president of the board of NAMI Johnson County this year. She became interested in NAMI several years ago in learning more about the mental health conditions that affected members of her own family. She helped with the original development of the Our Place Peer Drop-In Center when she sat on a committee of peers, agency heads, and community volunteers. She considers Our Place a proud achievement of NAMI Johnson County. She's committed to the roles of education, support, and advocacy that are the pillars of the national and local NAMI organizations. So everybody, please welcome Mary Lou Callahan.
My voice is usually loud enough you can hear it anyway. So I'm very honored to be the president this year of the NAMI Johnson County Board, and I have a lot of great people on the board serving with me. I'm going to read all their names, and if you're here, please stand up. Frankie Keenly, John Spitzer, Mark Butlin, Leanne Cortamilia, Daniel Zachara, Leisha Epping, Ellie Gould, Elizabeth Loeb, Andrew McKnight, Susan Spaziani, and Jared Swartzendruber. Please give all these people a round of applause. As you know, and I'm sure you'll hear again later, the NAMI Walk is our main source of fundraising, so it's very important to us. And this year, it's, I think, more important than ever. We are trying to do more programming, and we are trying to expand, if we can, into the rural areas and to our young people in junior high and high schools to get the word out that there is not a stigma. This is something we are all in together and should be able to talk about and to support each other. Also, it's important, all our programs and support groups are at no cost. So there is no barrier for anyone in our community who wants it or needs our services. But to do that, we have to raise money. So the walk is very important. Now, I know we're living in uncertain times, and the spread of the coronavirus may change increasingly some of our daily activities. But we need your support for this. Also, we all know that the walking itself is just one part of this very important event. What it's truly about is that we are supporting each other and for helping and supporting those people in the community who are living with a mental illness and their family, their friends, and their loved ones. So I really encourage you to let's set the goal high, let's reach for the stars, and let's make a lot of money. Thank you. Leslie Carpenter, our past president, who also is still on the board. Leslie, where are you? And she, please stand up. You and Scott both have done so much advocacy. They continue to take the time to spend a lot of time in Des Moines to really work on the nitty-gritty of advocacy and legislation. And I so admire that, and we thank you. Thank you.
So, our next speaker, Peggy, are you in here? Okay, she is, all right. Always wanna make sure that they're here too before we introduce. So, our next speaker for you is Dr. Peggy C. Napolis. She was appointed the first female chair and executive officer of the Department of Psychiatry in July of 2018 after being in the position on an interim basis. As department chair, she oversees 90 faculty and more than 300 staff. Dr. Napolis has been connected to the University of Iowa since completing her undergraduate general science degree. From there, she went on to medical school and residency at the University of Iowa, and ultimately, Dr. Napolis chose to stay and establish her career right here at Iowa. She says, "Iowa City is my home. It has world-class resources for science and a culture for collaboration. I couldn't see myself anywhere else." Dr. Napolis says her personal goal as chair is to raise awareness that people with mental health issues are constantly disparaged and not given the proper rights or access to care. Napolis says we have an epidemic in our country that people with mental health issues are not given the proper treatment, and we're a long ways from the appropriate care for people with mental illnesses. So please let us welcome our next speaker, Dr. Peggy C. Napolis.
That was a perfect pronunciation, by the way.
Yes. Hey.
Perfect. And it's actually very, very rare that people get that on the first time. Because even in my own family, for those of you who know, Eastern Iowa in Wilton is the candy kitchen. And so it's my husband's name, by the way. I'm not Greek. I'm Swirish. I'm Swedish and Irish. But the Candy Kitchen was run by my husband's family, and they're known as the Nopolis family. So if you just remember Peggy, you're good. So that's all I have to say. So I just wanted to start out. I want to make sure I don't ramble too much. I don't really have any slides. But I wanted to first tell you a little bit about myself. Someone in the audience just asked me, not just a few minutes ago, how did you get into psychiatry? Was it in your family? And it wasn't, not at all. It was not on my radar. I'm actually first gen, so my parents weren't college educated. But I grew up in Iowa, had a great experience in my family. I come from a large family. And I did all of my training here at the university, undergrad on up. And when I started medical school, psychiatry was still not something I was interested in, mostly because I think I had the layperson's misconception that is still the foundation of stigma today, that it wasn't brain-based. And so I had a misconception about it. But I was introduced to psychiatry in my third year when we do our clinical rotations. And I can tell you how long ago that was. That would have been 1988. But I remember very distinctly those patients. I remember one in particular. I remember them because they moved me in a way that no other patient, by the way, this is by the end of my third year, so I had rotated through every other piece of medicine until I got to psychiatry. It was one of my last rotations. It sparked, a passion in me for taking care of these patients just because they weren't at all what I was expecting. And then on top of that, just a few weeks after those rotations and seeing those patients and caring for those patients, I remember seeing a family member. So I saw, I was taking care of a young man with schizophrenia who of course was suffering. But who was suffering far greater was his mom, who had been told that she was the cause of his illness. And that struck me to the core. So not only did I have compassion for her son, but the fact that she was suffering. And once again, under the guise of what is continued to be just a misunderstanding, what I consider to be an epidemic of ignorance about mental illness. So I just briefly want to give you a history that will probably help us understand, because sometimes we want to rail against the stigma, but there's some reason why it came about. So I'm going to tell you the story of two scientists from back in the 1800s. One of them, you'll recognize his name. It's Dr. Alzheimer. Recognize that name? Yeah, Dr. Alzheimer. The other was Emil Kraepelin. And most of you probably don't know that man. But they were scientists at the same time in the same laboratory, and they were studying the brain. Because all mental and brain illnesses at that time were considered to be brain-based. Alzheimer was interested in dementia. Kraepelin was interested in what used to be called dementia praecox, or early dementia, which is now known as schizophrenia. So Kraepelin was the first person to really identify and study that disease. But the tools of the time were the microscope. Okay, that was the science for the time. Alzheimer was able to look at brain tissue under the microscope and see plaques and tangles. We could see how the cells were dying from Alzheimer's disease, right? So that disease that he studied bears his name, and it became a neurologic disease. Kraepelin, who was studying schizophrenia, couldn't see anything under the microscope. There's nothing here. Okay, this is a person who has schizophrenia, but I don't see anything under the microscope. And over the next 20, 30, 40 years, science tried their best to understand the biologic basis of mental health, just in the same way that neurologic diseases were being studied. But they were hitting a brick in the wall, or hitting a brick wall, because of the tools of the time. That was really when science, appropriately so, tried to take another tack. Well, if this is not anything that we can see under the microscope, maybe it's psychological. So that's really what ushered in the several decades of what I consider to be kind of the dark ages, right? Those scientists were, of course, not bad people. They were wonderful people. They were trying to understand mental illness, but they were coming at it from a completely different arena. They were coming at it from, oh, this isn't in the brain. It has to do with you as a person. It has to do with your parents. It has to do with your environment. And that really solidified the stigma for mental illness, right? It solidified the stigma of, this is your fault as a person. It's your parents' fault. This isn't part of your, it's not like another disease like medicine is. So it really solidified that. And in particular, it solidified it in America far better or far greater than it did in the rest of the world. And it really, like I said, for decades was the foundation for our ignorance. What started to turn the corner was in the 70s, a little bit earlier than that, and some of that had to do with understanding medications. So when we first discovered lithium, Thorazine, and we saw patients who were suffering from a major mental illness that got dramatically better with a drug, people appropriately said, well, maybe it wasn't their mama, right? Maybe there's something to this. And that thread of understanding the neurologic, the biologic basis of mental illness has continued and to roll through the decades. I know when I started my training because I do both science and psychiatry, and when I started my training in the 90s, it was the decade of the brain. And by the time we finish that, it's, wow, we need a century. Because it's really complicated. But I think we've come such a long way in understanding and knowing better about what the foundation of mental illness is. But I can tell you, and you all know, that the stigma still exists. And the stigma is still, in my mind, after all this time, the number one reason for us to push forward and to educate. So all of you here, and I know a little bit, I'm preaching to the choir, but all of you here know these issues. But I think, you know, to pick headlines from the time that's not coronavirus, but to really kind of drive home the numbers and the understanding of where we still need to go is the opioid crisis. So for those of us who are old enough to remember the Vietnam War, the young people in America protested. They shut down campuses. Our young men are dying. Our young men are dying. It was a huge social movement. And it was a cry for injustice. Yet in 2017 alone, we had more people die from an opioid epidemic than the entire Vietnam War. Those numbers are stark. And there really is one reason for that. It's stigma, right? It is stigma. And even though all mental health, I think, suffers from some amount of stigma, in particular, I like to do this, what I call emotion experiment. Because if you just think, not think, I'm sorry, if you feel, what do you feel when you hear the word soldier? You might feel pride, you might feel strong, you might feel patriotic. What do you feel when you hear the word addict? It comes so automatically. And it's not good feelings, right? It's derogatory. Their fault. Somebody who is not you, not anybody from my family, right? My mom would never do that. My son would never do that. But that emotion is really still what drives the stigma, what drives the lack of understanding, what drives the lack of compassion for patients with mental illness. So I think what's most important is to continue to do everything you are all doing today, because what we have in our tools to be able to continue to battle the stigma is awareness, education, advocacy, and science, right? Because we still need to continue to understand. The brain is very complex. And so still being able to understand the biologic basis of mental illness is a primary, it's a primary driver for what we do at the university. But all of those other things that you are all committed to and on the forefront of are just as important as the science, just as important, and maybe more so, because it's more tangible. And that education and that awareness and that advocacy is what eventually will continue to chip away at the stigma so that our patients can be, like all other patients, given the opportunities for treatment, the opportunities for respect as any other human. That's so important, because there's nothing more devastating than having a mental illness, with the exception of feeling ashamed about it. Good time. Perfect. So thank you for all you do. I'm really excited. I know it is an uncertain time. I'm hoping that in some ways, because of the walk being outside, that might be helpful in terms of any concerns about coronavirus, but we'll see. But it really is important, I think, to make sure that, and I think we feel this, that we're all in this together. One of the things about the department is that we have a very large department. We have 90 people. And I am so, especially because it's a department that I grew up in, so I have this wonderful advantage of being the chair, even though I grew up in that department. But I can tell you that every single person, and it's not just in the Department of Psychiatry, but another one of the reasons why I love psychiatry is our team approach. So our nurses who are so vital, in particular to people who are on the inpatient units, so vital to the care of these patients, social work, occupational therapy, everybody who works together for taking care of patients with mental health, we all have the passion for compassion, and we all share it with you. So thank you for everything you do.
All righty, thank you very much, Peggy. Our next speaker here this afternoon, Dr. Mona Witters. She is the NAMI Linn County president, and Dr. Witters wants to say thank you for the opportunity to represent Linn County as the executive director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Given her passion, experiences, and 30-year career in mental health, she is honored for this opportunity to represent Linn County. So our next speaker, Dr. Mona Witters.
All right. Can you all hear me? In the back. Okay. I pulled a fastie on Kosh. Okay. Kai, I did it too. Oh my gosh. All right. Apologies on that. But my name is actually Dr. Mona K. McCauley Witters. It's hyphenated. And I am the better half to Dr. Alan Witters, which some of you may know. He is like Dr. Pegg. He's a psychiatrist in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And we both together are passionate about mental health. So I'm just going to take a few minutes here to talk a little bit about Linn County and the work that we're doing in Linn County, because like Johnson County, mental illness is everywhere. And we're all fighting, as Dr. Pegg alluded to the battle to beat that stigma, to get early treatment, to prevent long-term agony and problems that families and loved ones and persons with mental illness feel. So I have been working in the field for quite some time, and I'm quite honored when I was selected to be the executive director in Linn County. As part of my many hats that I've worn in my life, I was a psychiatric nurse at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. And Dr. you are a hard act to follow to give my speech. That was right on, sister. So I'm gonna, as a former neuropsychologist, I'm gonna ask you a memory question, Dr. Pegg. Okay? She is a very well-known scientist in Huntington's chorea, has done lots of work in psychiatry and in mental health. So are you ready?
I don't know. I'm not. I'm
scared. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna put you on the spot. So do I look familiar to you? I'll take my glasses off so you can see my better side.
You're lovely.
Oh, thank you.
I must say, I know Al. I've known Al since I was a resident, but I don't recall how I know you.
No problem. We'll only give you like a C minus on that. So actually, Dr. Pegg and I go way back to the university. I worked there in research in psychiatry in the department. I was there with Dr. Winokur, and when we were unraveling things in the decade of the brain, and I believe we crossed paths in those halls at the VA, at the psychiatric hospital. You and I, and actually, if I can brag, I'd like to think that I was training you in brain research. So that's one of my cards to fame. And I think we just maybe passed for a very short time because I was on further training for me. But you probably know Dr. Henry Nazarella, Dr. Smith, Dr. DiMaggio. We can go on and on in terms of brain research and how important it is. But I do want to say now, as the executive director, I'm learning a lot from Mary, from Aaron, from Katrina, from all the people in the front row in Johnson County. We are your, I don't know, your cousin that's taking notes. We're your kissing cousin because we're trying to figure out, wow, how do we do this? How can we join together and create such a movement and advocacy? So it is very near and dear to our hearts in Linn County. And I want to thank and acknowledge my team and the group from Linn County. Much like the people in Johnson County, they have been our mental health ambassadors in Linn County. So I would like you folks that came here from Linn County to please stand up. And we'll give a big hand for you all. So those are my core team that are very helpful, and they too are taking notes on their counterparts in Johnson County. And we have a lot of things that we're working on, like you, together to beat this stigma and stomp it down. So I am here also in part because of Mike Tiernan, our past president, who you may all know, who's done a lot of work. So I'd just like him to stand one more time, and we'll thank him. Honestly, I would not have come out of retirement because I was living the good life, and Mike kept knocking on my door, and I'm like, who is this guy that keeps wanting me to have coffee, trying to twist my arm? And finally, I just couldn't refuse. It was such a great offer, and I have been so enthused about it all. But I'm also proud to introduce our Linn County current president. So, Kurt Rogan, if you could stand. You guys, keep clapping. He's my boss. Keep it going. He's my new boss. So I'm happy to say that he's a hard, dedicated volunteer. So he's done it all for Linn County as a board member, as my teacher, as the teacher for the NAMI signature programs. And he's even out there handing out flyers and manning booths. No job is too small for him. So I'd like to have Kurt come up front and share a few words about our chapter and the things that we're doing. And I'm very honored to be a speaker. This was my first time at the kickoff. Wow, I'm impressed. Here's a shout out to all the things you guys are doing, and thank you again.
Good afternoon, and thank you. And I want to echo Mona's comments about the excellent work by the staff and volunteers of NAMI Johnson County. You have built a strong and efficient organization. You have learned much about building the annual NAMI Walk, and you have applied what you have learned to make this a significant fundraising event for the NAMI chapters in Linn and Johnson counties. We do not have nearly the same capacity in Linn County that you have, and we do appreciate the opportunity to participate in this event. Nevertheless, NAMI Linn County is growing significantly. We have, under Mike Tiernan's leadership and with the assistance from many volunteers, we have doubled our membership over the past 18 months, and we are looking to grow our membership much more. My wife Lynn and I entered NAMI a little over 4 years ago, both through the NAMI Family Support Group and through the NAMI Family to Family class, which was then a 12-session class that our chapter offered maybe once a year. However, since summer 2018, NAMI Linn County has offered this class no fewer than 6 times. We have now reached about 115 people over that time. About 50 people are taking the class right now. And we have another 9 people signed up to take the next edition of the class, the 8-session class that starts in April. So if there's anybody here from Linn County who's interested in signing up, just see me afterward. Our NAMI Family Support Group has also grown in that time. We used to have maybe 3 or 4 people show up. Last Thursday, we had 16. This all goes to show that people in Linn County, just as in Johnson County, need NAMI. Families of persons with severe mental illness are learning, as Lynn and I did, that we are not alone in caring for an adult with severe mental illness, and that in NAMI, we recognize that, as Dr. Peggy said, mental illness is biological in nature. It's not a character defect. And in NAMI, we never give up hope. Going forward, NAMI Linn County will continue working with other community institutions such as Coe College, where we helped with freshman orientation last fall. We will continue hosting events such as the You Have No Idea community discussion at the Cedar Rapids Public Library last October. We will be an active participant in the upcoming Make It Okay campaign, the anti-stigma campaign, and we will continue finding opportunities for our own fundraising activities in Linn County to support the work of our chapter. And we will continue to look for ways to expand our services to persons with mental illness and their families in Linn County and beyond. As is Johnson County, we're looking to expand into rural areas as well. Thank you again, and here's to a successful NAMI Walks. Thank you for your work.
So, she's going to be one of our next speakers, and she's your walk manager for 3 years and has raised over $350,000 for NAMI mental health resources in the Johnson and Linn County area. She is a disabilities advocate, business owner, wife, and dog mom. In addition to Erin, we've got Joan DiFilippo. She's with the national office, and she's working with the field resource team. And Joan has over 15 years of experience in nonprofits, specifically walk programs. Joan joined NAMI 1 year ago and is responsible for the walks primarily in the Midwest. Lifelong Chicagoan and is truly the definition of a typical Northside Irish family from Chicago. So, Aaron and Joan, come on up. However you'd like to do it.
All right. Thanks for making that accommodation for me, guys. I appreciate it very much. As Kai said, I'm Erin Kay. I'm the walk manager. I've been with NAMI Johnson County for 3 years now and counting. It's been an experience, that's for sure. We've walked in the rain, we've laughed, we've cried. It's an experience, definitely. So I don't like to get up here and rattle on. I am much more of the organizer than a person who does speeches. So that's why we're so lucky to have Joan with us. I do want to do some shout outs and some thank yous to Kai O'Meara from KCRG. And I want to thank KCRG, one of our largest sponsorships for this year from the Show You Care program. So please give a round of applause to Kai. I'd also like to give a thank you to Kaim at the Radisson. They do a lovely job with this luncheon every single year. They deal with my frequent phone calls and panic attacks that I have over this event. So they do a lovely job. Thank you to the Radisson. Thank you to the Gift and Kind Desserts. And one final thank you. I want to say thank you to my executive director, Mary Issa. She battens down the hatches with everything we do. Last year, she was sick, and she wasn't among us. And you can really tell when your captain of your ship is not there. So thank you, Mary, for all you do and dealing with my constant back and forth. I also want to say thank you to our volunteers. Katrina, if you could please stand. I don't do the NAMI walk alone. We do it with a team of people. So if you see a volunteer with a volunteer shirt on, please thank them. They're fabulous. All right, Joan, let's dig in. Oh, I'm up. Okay. If you guys are not aware, our NAMI Walks program is actually part of a national program. So there's over 120 walks across the United States that take place. And they raise over $13 million for NAMI mental health resources in the United States. I think that's absolutely phenomenal. That is very exciting. Next. Oh, okay. Yes, and as Kai mentioned, and as Mary Lou mentioned, our funds go to support our educational programming and support groups. So if you guys are familiar with what NAMI does, it funds our NAMI Connections, our NAMI Family to Family course, our NAMI Family Support Group. There's lots of programs happening at NAMI, and we need the funding for it. This year's theme is Mental Health for All, because I think you guys all know that mental health impacts everyone. All businesses, all organizations, your mental health is critical. And I want to say, as Mary Lou said, and I love that people say that, because I think it's starting to become a national thing. But I want to say, as a person with a disability who is a walk manager, which I'm sorry, the irony of that is crazy. Like, it really is. The walk is not about walking. It's about coming together as a community, like you guys have done today, and uniting over mental health and saying, hey, we're here to break down the stigma. We're here to tell our story. We're here to be visible in the community. As a disabled person in this community, it's hard for me to feel seen. And I've been working with NAMI professionally for 3 years. NAMI makes me feel seen. And I hope that NAMI makes you feel seen when our team captains come. We have over 37 team captains registered today. We're hoping that number increases. And it's about you guys. It's about your stories. It's about you guys coming into the office, letting me pet your beautiful dog, and telling me your story about your son or your daughter. That's what the NAMI Walks is about. It's not about the fundraising, the fancy stuff. This is all great, but it's about you and your mental health story. This is a chance for you guys to get out there in the community, have fun with us, and share it. So we're excited.
Yes.
Yes, and of course, honoring loved ones and everything like that. So, all right, let's talk about the walk. Okay, just a little bit about last year. We had 77 teams with a total of 493 walkers in the pouring rain. Can I make that point a little more clear? It was raining cats and dogs that day. And we raised over a total of $108,000 for mental health resources in Johnson and Linn County. And that is truly phenomenal. We're excited about it. This year, we have a goal of 120,000. I know we can all meet it. I believe in you all. I've seen the strength of everyone, and I'm so excited. I want to do a special a shout out to the University of Iowa Healthcare. They have provided a generous sponsorship this year, as well as having a large-scale corporate team. They are going to try and raise $10,000 for mental health. Yes. Okay, let's talk about teams. Oh, thank goodness, it's finally Joan's turn.
Thank you, Erin. And I just wanted to point out one thing. Erin was a little modest in her fundraising. When she said they raised $108,000 last year, they were the first walk to have to raise their goal after the event. That is unheard of. In all my years of fundraising, I've never seen anything like this. When she and Mary sent the email, I was like, I don't know, talk to my boss, because I've never heard of such a thing. So I know that $120,000 is going to be very easily met this year with all of you great people here. And another thing, this is the biggest kickoff event I've ever attended, and I have attended a lot of them, so thank you all for coming. Go Iowa. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about teams today, and you are the heart of our walk. This is what NAMI Walks is all about. It's about teams. We love individual participants as well, but the teams are really what makes this walk successful. When we refer to a team, it means more than one person. So Erin and I, we can be a team together. We are a team. And you could have a team of 10, 200, how many ever that you want. An average team has 10 walk participants, and on average, each person raises $100. And if you do the math, that's $1,000 for a team. That's what we aim for. So when Erin calls you and says, thanks for forming a team, how many people do you have? She's going to do the quick math and tell you, you know, pretty much how easy it is to raise that money. An interesting fact is there are 11 times more walk participants than team captains. So through our nationwide program, we had 7,500 captains last year with 83,000 participants. The reason I bring this up is because our team captains do the bulk of the work, and that's not how it should be. Our team captains do the majority of the fundraising at 40% of all the funds. It doesn't need to be that way. So one of you over here, I'm assuming, might be the team captain for your group. So my cue to you is spread it out. Let your team help you, because we often see team captains that say, I asked so-and-so to be, I have to do their fundraising. I have to. That's not the case. I have some of my team members here, and they've all been instructed, I'm not doing their fundraising. I'm doing my fundraising. I'm not doing their fundraising. That's what a good captain does. Spread it out amongst your teams, because if you do all the fundraising or I do all the fundraising, the awareness is only going to who we know. When everybody does the fundraising, the awareness goes to who we all know, and what do we want to do but raise more awareness. Imagine the impact if all of our participants were doing what the team captains did. So do the math in your head and realize how much more money we could be raising for our free programs. So therein lies the simple formula for your team success, another great team of Jen and Aaron. So how do you build an all-star team? There are three simple steps. Communication, that's the number one thing. Model the action, recognize, and repeat. So when you form a team, you want to communicate these steps so your team knows what to do. So I formed, oh, there's a handout in your folder. When I formed my team, I asked, I really told, who wants to join my team? So my family and some of my friends said, oh, we'd love to join your team. I posted on Facebook and I simply put our team link on there and I said, if you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you. If you can't join us, please donate. That's the easiest way to do it, because if you don't ask, they don't know you're doing this. When you do form your team page, you can go on to register through namiwalks.org/JohnsonCountyIowa, and then there is a register now button or donate to this event. So again, if I can't join your team, I can certainly donate to you. So your team page will look like this. You'll have your team name of the Cool Crew, the registration details, including the fundraising goal, and this is for the individual who's registering with you. We'll ask for the t-shirt size, how do you hear about NAMI Walks, and then the year you were born, you can skip that. You can be joining as a team member, and then you just complete your registration. So it's very, very simple to do that. It is free to register. You can make a donation at that time. As a team captain, you should make a self-donation at that time to show your team you're really invested in this. And I always tell all of my team members, make a self-donation as well, because then when you ask for a donation and one of your donors sees your names on there, they realize that this cause is extremely important to you. I don't think this is working at all now. I'll go up here. That's okay. I can go up here. Yeah, I was doing it. I think the batteries might be dead. Okay. Thank you. So the key is asking to register. Ask everyone you know to walk with you. And again, if they say no, ask for a donation. So what you are going to do is ask others to do. You want to do it first, because what you do has far greater impact than what you say. So if I'm going to tell somebody that I formed a walk team, yet I'm not willing to do anything, it's not really going to increase my team or get our fundraising going. Oh, thank you. So you want to lead by example. So participants who donate to their own fundraising event will raise 8 times more than those who don't. You can go ahead. So you want to customize your walk webpage. That's your very first step. So when I started my team, I customized my page. I added a photo and explained why I was walking. And when I customize my page, I'm likely to raise 10 times more than somebody who doesn't customize their page. As somebody who's been asked to donate to several events, I like to know why I'm donating. We all know causes, you know, different names, different organizations, and that's great, but why are you walking? Why am I donating to you? That's the most important part. You can also connect your walk page directly to Facebook fundraisers. To me, this is the easiest way to fundraise. You just simply put it on there, people click, and they donate. When I put my team page up last week, I raised $1,000 in about an hour. Yeah. Everybody's on Facebook, or so it seems, so it's easy. It's an easy way to go. And people, it's so easy to click on that rather than giving them your link and finding the web page, and everybody's on their phone on Facebook, so it just makes it simple. So you want to use the communication that works best for you. So you have LinkedIn, you have Twitter, you have Facebook, you have Instagram. If you're not big on Twitter, don't put your page on Twitter, because nobody's really going to be following you there. Use the communication method that works. If it is email, go ahead and do that. We have a woman in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who does all of her fundraising by handwriting letters, each and every letter, and she raises $17,000 on average every year. I'm not suggesting that you do that, but that's what works for her. She is not into social media at all, and she's been doing this for 5 years. So again, it's whatever works best for you, that's how you should do your fundraising. And I'm gonna turn it back to Erin for the thank you.
And I just wanted to say that all of your handouts are in your folder. Please take your folders, guys. Now, Katrina and I were having a big party in the office just making these folders all day long because we love it. And this is why we do what we do for you. So you feel confident and ready to jump into the walk season. I just want you to guys to know, front and center in the folder is my business card. I am available 24/7 for your NAMI Walk needs. So if you have anything in terms of tech, in terms of I can't see my profile picture, I can't see my donation, I have an anonymous donor, Aaron, please help me, I am here for you. Please email me. I may not get back to you right away, but I promise to get back to you. That's one of the things that we offer at our walk and why I do what I do and I have my job is so that our people feel confident with doing the walk platform. I will say the Facebook fundraiser add-on is a new addition, but I believe, because I've seen it and I'm looking right at Leslie Carpenter, I know some of our folks can do amazing Facebook fundraisers. So if you're afraid, don't worry. I'll walk you through it. It'll be okay. Let's do it together. Thank you guys so much for being here. I don't like to rattle on. Yeah, I think we're ready for a little fashion show, aren't we, Joan?
We are.
So if you guys aren't familiar with our NAMI Walk incentive items, we are going to have Kai and some various folks. Can all the folks who I asked to model the items please come up for a little impromptu fashion show?
It looks like an eye thing. I don't
Now we need catwalk music. Da, 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 da. Yeah, you can hold the bag. That's perfect. We're having Kai strut his stuff first with the throwback to the 90s. Folks, do you remember the waste pack? This is very specific language, direct from NAMI National. Am I right, Joan? It is a waste pack, not to be confused with a fanny pack. That's right. I like it. Kai O'Mara, Casey RG, modeling the fanny pack, $250. And this fanny pack could be yours for $250 for the NAMI Walks program, or the choice of the lovely Mental Health for All coffee traveling mug. Exactly. You can stick your NAMI Walks pens in there. Yeah. Woo. $250. It can be yours, folks. All right. All right. Nancy, we have, I'm sorry, Natalie. We've got this lovely reflective yoga tee, and we don't have the beach towel with us today, but I'm telling y'all, it's fabulous, folks. Yes, for $500, you can get your own NAMI Walks yoga tee, and I saw Phil had his on earlier. Or you still have it on. Woo! He's all NAMI Walks'd up. Woo! That's right. Okay. Now we've got this really nifty inversion umbrella, which I'm afraid to open in the office. I'm not gonna lie to you. Woo, look at that, guys. And I think it goes in and out for $1,000 for the NAMI Walks program. You can get your own umbrella. You can put a family under there. I mean, you could put like six people, potentially. I mean, think economical in terms of the umbrella. All right, and then we've got Phil Steffensmeyer, one of our top team captains of the week, modeling our NAMI Walks fleece, micro fleece, very fancy Eddie Bauer scenario. This is the good stuff, folks. For $1,500, this sweater could be yours, hoodie thing, yes. Woo, all right. Okay, and I think your son had the bag. Yeah. Yes. This bag, this wonderful travel tote, also comes with a NAMI Walks charger that's personalized. I think that's neat for air travel. I know our folks, maybe you're not traveling right now by airplane, but eventually we will be. So think about that for $2,000 or, of course, the NAMI suitcase. All right. Okay. Yes, I want to make a note. We do not ship these items out to you. They will be shipped out to you. So no worries on that end. If you have any questions, send me an email. I'm always here for you. All right. Our Walkstar pen is a incentive that we give to our team captains that raise $1,000. Yeah. Got those ready to go. So again, like Joan covered, ask all your friends, ask all your people. Even if you don't think that somebody is willing, like the stories I've heard through the NAMI Walks is like, wow, I put it out on Facebook or I told my story. We have a volunteer in the office who was actually highlighted in this presentation, Rebecca Evans. She's at the University of Iowa today. But she has recently opened up with her diagnosis of bipolar. And just feeling like she could tell that story through her NAMI Walks page, she has felt so good. And I'm just like, I love when she tells her story because she feels empowered by her diagnosis. We have to remember the empowerment piece. It's not a bad thing. Okay, that's my little soapbox. All right, this is all in your folder, folks. We do it the online way, but you can always do it the old school way. Yesterday, we just picked up a check from Toyota Financial that they raised over $1,000 for a casual jeans day in the office. If you're interested in corporate fundraisers through your various organizations that you work for, please come find me. I'll help you get one set up. This is at our walk celebration. I just think that's a lovely photo.
We need to be able to stand up and say, it's okay to have a mental health condition. It's okay to be able to reach out and ask for help.
NAMI Walks is the best. It's a celebration of all of our members, all of their friends and coworkers and relatives, all of the places of worship. We get together and we say, hey, mental health challenges are pretty normal. We can live in recovery, and NAMI's there to support you.
Money is raised, awareness is raised, so people don't have to feel like they're in sinking sand. But you can get the help, not be ashamed, and live a free life.
So somebody who has a mental health condition who may have in the past been afraid to talk about it or had experienced stigma, this is the one day that they can come out, and there are thousands of people there for them, walking for them, to raise awareness, to raise money, and to raise hope that there can be a better future.
At a NAMI walk, you walk around and you see families, entire families. You see friends. You see people who are meeting for the first time and become best friends.
NAMI walks, for me, is the community that comes together rallying around this important issue.
I've seen people out there that are probably fresh out of the hospital, you know, that have actually lost loved ones to suicide. And they're no longer in crisis, but they know that it's important to be there and it's important to show the support for the work that we do.
To not only have friends and family support you, but to also see other people that have been hurting come together. And for that one day, you can walk in honor of, in memory of, just for one day, laugh. You are not alone. You are a huge force to be reckoned with.
Thank you guys so much for attending. We really appreciate it very much considering the outbreak. Thank you so much for being here. Please take the flowers. Please take your folders. Please take the pens. Thank you. Thank you, guys.